I have several verses to read. I'll just read through these. Then I will go back and hit a few of them along the way again. In John chapter 1 and verse 19, John the Apostle now is writing about John the Baptist. And he says, "And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed." Now that may seem a little confusing. And I don't know that the Greek actually will make it any less confusing simply as it's worded. But what it's saying is he actually did answer their question.
Yeah.
Okay? They said, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not. Mm-hmm. He told them who he was.
Right.
As we will actually see. But what I want you to notice is that next word. "And he confessed and denied not, but confessed." Not "and." "But confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they ask him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias," or Isaiah. "And they which were sent were of the Pharisees." And it seems odd that all of a sudden now we read this little phrase, right? Why didn't it say that back up before that? But nevertheless, let me move on. "They asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then?'" And remember, every word, even though it may be translated into English, they may have added a word or two here for it to flow in our English language. Nevertheless, every word is still important. "They asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then? If thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet.' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not.'"
Yeah.
Notice that.
Yeah.
That whole phrase. "He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." Notice John is giving testimony about himself, is he not? "These things were done in Beth Abara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." The next day.
Yeah.
When I read that, I thought, did it really matter? Did it really matter? And it's not there just for effect, but the next day.
Yeah.
"The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God.'" And if this wasn't such a small building, I would say it like I figure he said it. I figure Mason cried to the top of his lungs, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Amen.
This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me."
Amen.
As I considered this passage, thought about it, and I've been thinking about not necessarily this passage, a few things in this passage for several weeks now. Two facts just stuck out at me. They're not new facts. You remember what Ralph Dale said, I think it was the last time he was here, that he wasn't here to preach anything new.
Yeah.
Because if somebody's preaching something new, you best not believe it.
Exactly.
But that being said, there are many things that are new to us.
Yes.
Just because you don't know it now, don't mean if you hear it tomorrow, it's not true.
Yeah.
Because if this word says it's true no matter what I believed today.
Exactly.
Okay? But these two facts just struck me. And it's the same old thing. Same old thing. Man is still the same. Isn't it? Think of the strides By God's purpose, yes. But think of the strides that man has made just in the area of medical things. You know? Many of us, some of us at least, would probably be dead by now if it weren't for the strides that man has made in medical technology. Would we not? Roy Jr., you had heart trouble. You'd probably be dead by now. Wouldn't be sitting here. Think of the strides. The difference between now and back then when these people were alive. But yet I'm here to say man is still the same.
Exactly.
I could mention strides in science, but that's questionable.
Exactly.
At least some of the medical things, you can see the actual results of it, you know. But I do think we've made great strides in science. They say we've went to the moon. I have not been there, so I don't know for sure, but I figure it's true. I'm not a conspiracy theorist that thinks everything is fake, but a lot of it probably is. But you know what I'm saying. These people back then probably weren't even thinking about things like that, except in some wild compulsive dream when they ate too much food the night before or something. And all of the people say, but we're so civilized now. Back then, they used to have wars. Oh, wait a minute, we still do today. Yeah, that's right. Wait a minute, that don't work. But we're so different and civilized today. Back then, they used to kill men, women, and children in battle. Oh, wait a minute, we still do that today.
Yeah.
Oh, I know they do that. No, I said we still do that today. Were it not for God Almighty's restraining providence, we'd all be radicals.
Yeah.
Swift to shed blood at the quickest moment.
Right.
Would we not?
Mm-hmm.
And we'd kill from the least to the greatest, were it not for God Almighty's restraining providence. I know I would. And I figure most everyone here knows they would. If it weren't for God's restraining providence, I would be one of the most corrupt, outward, overt, corrupt men that ever walked on the face of God's green earth.
Yeah.
And Joe, I don't know that as I ought, but I still know it.
Yeah.
Still know it. Man is still the same.
Yes, sir.
But secondly, God's message is still the same.
Amen.
It's still the same.
Amen.
The message of John the Baptist is still the same as the message we preach. I have read, and maybe you've read this, and maybe you've thought this, and got your mind stuck in a box because somebody said this to you, and it comes from the Scripture, so therefore you see that part in the box, that's all you know. You don't think about anything else. But John preached the baptism of repentance, right? That was John's message, right? Yes, he preached the baptism of repentance. Did he not?
Yes,
that is a part of the box.
Yes, sir.
Right? But there's a box that box is in.
Yes, sir. That's it.
John's first response, and it says, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not, what? The Christ.
That's right.
John's message was the Christ. Mm-hmm. That one is coming.
Yes, sir.
You see? There are those who think, but well, we've progressed into a greater gospel now than really what they had. Oh no, it's the same old gospel. It's the same one that God Almighty Himself in the person, I believe, of the Son Himself in the garden preached to Adam and Eve, the first sermon that was ever preached that we have a record of. That one who is coming that shall bruise the serpent's head. Right? That seed of the woman. Those two things. No matter what you see in this book, if you see, no matter all the things that a person, let me change, all the things that a person could see and possibly can see, all of the information that's in this book, if you miss these two things, you've missed it all.
Yeah.
Who man is,
yeah,
and who Christ is.
Exactly.
You've missed it all. I thought about this the other day, talked about, you know, and I heard a preacher preach it. Maybe one of the men we have made some tapes from, but talked about, you know, God cast our sins behind his back and removed them as far as the east is from the west.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, this is Scripture.
Yeah.
And even these people, to some degree, understood that there was a north and a south pole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He didn't say it's removed as far as the north is from the south, because there is a north.
Exactly.
And there is a south pole. Yeah. The earth actually turns upon an axis with a north and south pole that doesn't move. But east and west, you know, you keep going east, you keep going east. You might get to the west, but if you keep going that way, you're still going which way? East. And vice versa. You understand? The scripture is scientifically accurate.
Yes, sir.
Even though some of these people may not have understood the total ramification of exactly what they were saying. You understand what I'm getting at? But yet the scripture is scientifically accurate. But yet if that's all you see in the scripture, and if you don't see what you are, if I don't see what I am, if you don't see who Christ is, you've missed it all.
You're right.
You just missed it all. Let me just go through a few things. This is going to be, Lord willing, to be a series. But I'm not going to mention a title. Not that it has to have a title, but I'll give you the title at the end. But remember this, man is still the same. No matter what strides we've made, we're still the same. We're just like these people were. And I didn't say the Arminians are just like these people are. I'm just like they are. By nature.
Yes, sir.
Yes, there are times I stand up here and I preach to you about them. The scripture does that too.
Yeah.
But there are times when we have to talk in this language. We.
Yes, sir.
We must not so get to that point where we see us and them to where we forget us used to be a we.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I used to be just like them.
Yes, sir.
And in my flesh, I'm still just like them.
That's right.
So man's still the same. But remember, God's message is the same.
Yes.
David, the king and the prophet, was looking for the Messiah.
Yes, sir.
Abraham saw what? Christ's day.
Amen.
He rejoiced in it. And was glad.
Amen.
He knew the Christ of God.
Yes, sir.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Where does grace come from?
Yeah.
God in Christ. Yeah. And no other way.
Yes, sir.
No other way. Noah seen that bow in the sky. Did he not?
Yeah.
You know where that bow's eternally fixed at, don't you? Over the throne of Christ. Look at the book of the Revelation.
Yeah.
That's where that bow is eternally fixed at. So let's look at it here for a few moments. Verse 19. Let me just read it again. This is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" Think about these. Just a few things I want to state here and make just a couple comments. Remember, all of this is men are still the same. God's message is still the same. That's in all of this. This thread, these two threads run through all of this. Number one, from verse 19, men and women can detect and be intrigued by religion. Can't they?
Yes, sir.
Men can detect religion. You watch the TV, you see all kinds of religions, but usually you can detect when it's there, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when them guys stand up with their machine guns, Allah Akbar, you know what they're talking about, don't you? Their religion. And Mason, when some guy stands behind a desk similar to this one and talks about sowing the seed, and be sure you send the seed to me when you do it,
yeah,
and he's reading out of the Bible, you know what he's talking about. Religion, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we are absolutely dead in trespasses and sins, but it means we're dead to God. We're dead to spiritual things. We're dead to truth. We're dead to the reality of the person and work of Christ. But we are very much alive unto everything else in this universe. We can detect and we can be intrigued by religion.
Yeah, you're right.
The Jews sent. Isn't that what it says? Those two words. The Jews sent. Now notice it doesn't say the Pharisees sent.
Yeah, that's true.
And we even read that a little later down, don't we?
Yeah.
It's not because we generally think, well, yeah, it must have been them old Pharisees that was behind it. Right? No, it says the Jews sent. And this being considered, and this being true, man generally wants somebody else always to do the dirty work or the leg work.
You're right.
Don't they? Now, what do I mean exactly by that? Do I mean men are all lazy? No. There's some people that, as Paul said about some Jews, they have a zeal toward God. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is man is so depraved that rather than searching out the truth personally and individually based upon God's word, let somebody else do it.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Yeah.
The Jews sent who? What does it say? And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem, they sent somebody else. In other words, just write me a book and tell me what it's all about when it's over with.
Yeah, exactly.
Explain it all for me and then present it to me, and then I'll even give you $24.99 for the book, and then I'll just know all about God's word. Do you know there are people that live like that? There are people who live off of books written about the Bible, commentaries on the Bible, rather than on the scriptures themselves.
Exactly.
Do they not?
Oh, yeah.
They want somebody else to do all the work, put forth all the effort to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Dare I mention a preacher in that deal? Huh? Well, just give me a preacher. There are some people that every time they have trouble, where do they first run?
Yeah.
To the preacher. Now let me say, so that no one misunderstands me, if you ever got a trouble or a problem and you need somebody to talk to, you can talk to me, but I may not have the answer for your problem.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I may not have the solution to your problem, but one thing is true, God does. And His word has the answer. And this is also true. God hath given gifts unto men, and those gifts are defined. Right?
Yes, sir.
They are God-called men. And I tell you what, it's okay to use that, but don't abuse that.
Yeah.
And above that, because this is just the truth. No matter how we might say things over here, no matter what you might hear me preach in another message, you must not, you best not depend upon me to find out what all's going on. If you're a believer in Christ, you have the Spirit of God and this Word just as well as I do.
Yeah.
I am not highly enlightened while you're merely enlightened. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But at the same time, God has put me here. And I bear that responsibility. And I'm accountable for it. But generally, this is what somebody else, they want somebody else to do all the legwork.
Yeah.
Figure it all out for me, then just let me know what the truth is. And on top of that, they sent the wrong ones.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand you want somebody else to do a lot of the heavy work, the big lifting. I understand that. I can relate to that. I sat under Earl Cochran for years. You understand that? And sometimes that's God's ordained way, David. You understand? No, that is God's ordained way. Let me change that. But let me tell you something. If you want somebody to do some work, you better make sure you got the right one doing the work for you. Now, you think about it, it doesn't say here, and you can say, well, it doesn't say that specifically, so you can't really say that. Yeah, I can. I'm not that stupid. There was a priest they could have sent. You remember him? You remember him? When that babe was 8 days old? You remember that priest? Whose name was Simeon? Who held the Lord in his arms? And said, I have seen thy salvation. They didn't send him.
That's right.
They sent priests and Levites, which were of the Pharisees.
Yeah. That's it.
Huh? Now you see it kind of making sense now?
Yes, sir.
They didn't send him. No, just preacher, just write me a book, buy me a book, hire a preacher, give me a more simpler, easier Bible version. I mean, I had a preacher who preached for us, basically told me he liked another version better because it was better understandable. It may be in English, but let me tell you, I don't care how clear you make it in English, man's still the same.
That's right.
And apart from the grace of God, I don't care how simple you put it, how much correct grammar you've got in it, man will not see the truth apart from God's free, sovereign grace.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is.
Amen.
A lot of preachers like to play games and sound like they've discovered something. You know?
Yeah.
Think about it. I said everybody, they want somebody. We all. No, not they. I said they. I'm supposed to say we during this amendment. We. What do we want to do? We want somebody else to do it for us. Now, some of us that believe in grace, well, that just sounds good because Christ did it for us. I know, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about man is still the same as he's always been. And we talk about wanting to, men, everybody wants to work for God, but they want somebody else to figure out exactly what I'm supposed to do.
Exactly.
Here's what God says to do. Love me with everything you are. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's all summed up in that. Now do that.
Yes, sir.
And if you're here this morning and you want to gain God's favor, but what you do, start doing that right now today.
Yeah.
But whoa, hold on, put on the brakes. You got to account for yesterday.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, everybody wants somebody else to do the work, don't they? Even Simon, the one they call Simon Magus,
yeah.
The sorcerer.
Yep.
When Peter came along and realized, well, what was it, Philip or Stephen, one of them had baptized him, he believed, was baptized, and followed right along. Peter comes along and sees something he didn't.
Yeah.
He sees something in this guy that the other preacher didn't see.
Yeah.
Now, it was because the guy gave testimony to something. He thought he could buy the gift of God with money.
Yeah.
And what did Peter tell him? Well, you just need a little better instructions, what you need. You need to sit here for a while and just learn some more. Is that what Peter told him? What did Peter tell him? You've got no part nor lot in this matter because your heart ain't right in the sight of God.
Amen.
Now, don't you kid yourself. You think that God's people, on occasion, can't detect the false among the true? Don't you kid yourself. You think you've got everybody tricked? You ain't. And one person you don't have tricked, and I don't have tricked, that's God Almighty.
Amen.
But even at times, God allows his people to see. And Peter said, you've got no part nor lot in this matter. You need to pray God if perhaps the thought and intent of your heart will be forgiven you. And what did Simon say? Do you remember? Oh, God, show me what's wrong with me. Oh, what did he say? Peter, won't you pray for me?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Didn't he? Won't you pray for me? No, we can detect and be intrigued by religion. But one, we ask the wrong questions, and we usually depend upon the wrong people.
Yep.
Don't we?
You're right.
Verse 19 again. Here's a couple. You didn't think there's that much in verse 19, but there is. And there's more than what I'll give you. Verse 19 again. One, the natural man always seeks the wrong thing.
Yep.
They sent these people, Levites and priests, who were of the Pharisees, remember?
Yeah.
They sent them to John the Baptist to ask what question?
Yeah.
What's your message? Is that what they said? Huh?
No.
What's the truth of God? Now, they understood he's out there preaching something religious, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was preaching from God's Word, right?
Yes, sir.
Did they say, what's the Word of the Lord? No, they said, who are you?
That's exactly it.
Isn't it? I've seen that happen so many times in various ways. Remember, there are boxes out there, and there's sometimes a lot of little boxes in amongst the boxes. And as soon as somebody discovers I'm a preacher, all of a sudden their demeanor and their character and their actions change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why? Because I discovered who you are. Now, yo, you really don't know who I am. If you did, you wouldn't be afraid of me.
Yeah.
You'd fear God Almighty that can destroy both your body and your soul in hell. You understand that? Yeah, you do. The natural man always seeks the wrong thing. Who are thou? Who are you, John? John basically said, I'm nobody.
That's right.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
I'm nobody. And we'll see a little bit more of that later. Even when he told these people what the problem was.
Yeah.
And I do have to jump ahead, in case time just gets away here. He said, the one I'm talking about, there's one person that's my message. That's what he says, does he not?
Yeah.
And he dwells among you, and what? You don't know him. Didn't he?
That's it.
But you know what John said about himself? There was a time when I didn't know him either.
That's right.
That's what it says right here. Verse 33, and I knew him not.
Yeah.
You see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it.
Now he didn't say, I didn't know exactly which one it was. He said, I knew him not. You see, even though John was filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb, he knew that even in him, in his flesh, dwelt what? No good thing. Because why? Man's still the same. I don't care if God regenerated you and preached the gospel to you individually, personally, while you're in your mommy's belly, your flesh is still as corrupt as Judas Iscariot and his mind.
Yes, sir.
Just as corrupt. And think about it. The first part of it. They always seek the wrong thing. Who are you? Their question is not invalid. You see, the question's not invalid. No, I'm not saying the question is invalid. Who are you? Because it says, and he confessed and denied not. And he eventually told him who he was, right? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'm just a voice. That's all I am. Just a voice. That's not what most preachers want to be today, is it? Just a voice. Do they? But let me tell you, that's what a God-called man or any God-called person who preaches this gospel is, just a voice. Just a voice. I am a voice. Crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. The question's not invalid. It's not invalid. We've received grace. Right? You have. I may be a pastor in a local assembly, but, and I hope you don't misunderstand this, but you can preach the gospel as well as I. You understand that? Who preached the gospel to Rahab?
Exactly.
It says she heard. He said, we heard. She said, we heard.
Yeah.
Didn't she?
Yeah.
Who preached the gospel to her?
Exactly.
All the inhabitants of Jericho was preaching the gospel. They just didn't know they was doing it. And didn't know the reality of it. Because everybody was talking about that group of people whose God has fought, is fought, and shall fight for his people.
Yes, sir.
And she heard that same. Yeah. Mason, in some cases, people probably thought it was rumor.
Yeah.
About what God had been, what this God was doing for these people out there in the wilderness. But that message struck her with a different chord.
Yeah.
Did it not?
Yes, sir.
The question about who am I, who are you, is not invalid. We are believers. We have received grace. But that's not the pertinent question.
Exactly.
And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I'm not the one you ought to be looking for.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir.
I'm not the Christ. And he just brings that right out of the blue, doesn't he? Why? He knew they were looking for the wrong thing. The wrong person.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. To everyone here, I don't care how old or young you are. You got somebody that's known Christ for many years. Don't think they're as dumb as you think they might be. Oh yeah, you can get a lot over on me. And somebody says, get me once, you won't get me again. Oh, you might get me 100 times. But eventually, the truth will spill out on anybody. Anybody, even if it's me. David, if it's me, I start questioning God's truth or one of God's men, it'll come out on me. And let me tell you, John the Baptist was directly sent, ordained by God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
Don't ask who he is, ask what his message is.
Exactly.
You see?
Yeah.
Who are you? It don't matter who I am. Does it? Does it really? It's not an invalid question, but David, is not the pertinent question. But we are so depraved by nature, we don't even know what the pertinent question is.
Exactly.
Think of it. Here's the second thing under the second part of verse 19. Spiritual blindness persists and insists. It persists and insists on misdirection. Look at it. He said, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. And they said unto him, well, what then?
Yeah, exactly.
Even when he mentioned the Christ, did they say, well, who is he? Where's he at?
Yeah.
What's the truth about him? Did they?
Nope.
Isn't that what men ought to do?
Yeah.
Certainly. And they asked him, well, what then? maybe you're Elias. Are you him? And you know that, listen, I don't shy away from eschatology. And there's a main reason why. Two reasons. One, the Bible has things that are still future, and they're given for our learning. All Scripture's there, profitable. All of it's profitable. And two, at one time, all Scripture and all truth, as far as we're concerned, was all eschatology.
Exactly.
So if you don't like eschatology, you really don't like the truth of God. Now, that's what it boils down to, and I'm not here to fight with anybody. That's just the facts. God's Word's God's Word, no matter whether it was eschatology past or eschatology future. Is it? But here's what men love to do. I'm not the Christ. Men, these people should have said, these priests and Levites said, oh yeah, that's in the Scripture. The Christ, right? Who's he? Well, who then are you really, John? Maybe you think you're somebody. You must be. What do they want? Prophecy. Elias is a prophet of prophecy, right? Mm-hmm. Are you Elias? And he saith, I'm not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Notice how short, brief, and concise his answers were.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you notice that?
Yeah.
Well, let's really look at eschatology and see if we can really figure it out. That don't matter if you've missed Christ.
Exactly.
If you're not asking about Christ, it don't matter what else you know.
That's right.
That's how pertinent the real question is.
Yeah.
And yet men love to have what? Prophecy conferences. But you rarely ever hear of a grace conference or a election conference or a predestination conference,
exactly.
Do you? Or even better, a Christ conference. Huh? Well, as I said, spiritual blindness persists and insists on misdirection. But here's verse 22. A couple things here. Verse 22. Let me read that. Then said they unto him, who art thou then? That we may give an answer to them that sent us, what sayest? Now look, they're still persisting.
Oh, yeah.
What sayest thou of thyself? And I don't care how long, I've preached for 28 or so years. People still try to point the finger at me as though it's about me. They still do. We've had people right here in this assembly, and maybe even some now, in this assembly who want to point the finger at God's people. Don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because it just persists. Now look at this, verse 22. The natural man always passes the buck.
Yes, sir.
See that? Now, wait a minute. These were the Levites and the priests, the Jews in them. Who's supposed to know more and be involved more?
Exactly.
Who?
Yeah.
The Levites and the priests. They were in there where the sacrifices were, Joe.
Yeah.
Right? They should have known the Scriptures at least enough to adequately offer the sacrifices.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which even the Old Testament said didn't satisfy God.
Exactly.
That they were looking for the one to come.
Amen.
You know, but what did they do? The Levites and the priests now are the ones saying this. Well, here's what they did. Let me look at it. Here's what man does. And here's what I do by nature. We deny personal accountability while professing great responsibility.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
We deny personal accountability while professing great responsibility. But I got to give an answer to people that depend on me.
Yeah.
Now let me tell you something. When this all boils down to, it's between you and God Almighty. And I do like Don Fortner said this, talk about that straight and narrow gates. There's one thing about it. You got to enter in by yourself. That's how straight it is. Straight is not this straight. It's this tight. You go in by yourself. You don't take mommy with you. You don't take daddy with you. You don't take your brother with you. You don't take your sister with you. You don't take your wife with you. You don't take your husband with you. You enter in by yourself.
Yes, sir.
Even if God saves 5,000, they each go through that door, that straight gate, individually. Now, this is what we do by nature. We deny personal accountability, but we profess great responsibility. In other words, we pass the buck. These guys should have said, you know what? I think I got a problem. I'm out here talking to this guy, and yeah, he's dressed in, what was it, camel's hair, and eats grasshoppers. Won't even take a sip of wine. I don't know what's wrong with him. Lives out there all by himself. Well, and he's like, well, but if he didn't dress that way and wasn't so ascetic, you know?
Yeah.
If he wasn't such a separatist, maybe if he was more inclusive, if he was just more a people's man, maybe they would have received him better. Yeah. Well, Christ did that.
Exactly.
And they didn't listen to him either.
Exactly.
And he actually mentioned that.
Yeah.
John came, he didn't eat your food or drink your I was going to say whiskey, but I'll not say that. That's a throwback. That's one of them Freudian mistakes, wasn't it? And didn't drink your wine.
That's right.
You didn't listen to him. I come along. I involve myself with you. I eat your food. I drink your wine. You call me a drunkard.
That's right.
You call him a crazy man.
Yep.
Let me tell you, you cannot satisfy the natural man.
Exactly.
Even when that natural man is me.
Yep, you're right.
Natural man is me. Think about it. Here's the problem. They want to give an answer to them, men, not him, God. You see it? Well, look. Then said they unto him, who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What do you say about yourself? And I'm thinking, I'd look at him and say, fellas, give me a break, you idiots. You know, John didn't do that. What did he say? No. 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 I'm not the Christ. No.
Yeah.
No. God sent me. I'm just a voice crying out in the wilderness.
Yeah. Amen.
This lets me know one other thing, too. It's not up to many words to convince the heart and mind of a person. It's up to God Almighty and His Spirit and His Word.
Yeah.
You can argue yourself till you're blue in the face with rebels and they will not and cannot hear you.
Yeah.
That's why God said to his disciples, God the Son said, you go into that city, you tell them the truth, they don't receive you, do what? Shake the dust off your feet and leave. That's why he said in another place, do not cast your pearls before swine. Why? Because they'll not only trample your pearls under the feet, then they'll turn and rend you. And wait a minute, did I say man's still the same? Uh-oh, verse 25. Look at it. Eventually, they will attack the messenger.
Yes, sir.
Look at it. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then? You see that? Do you see that? They are questioning John's authority.
Yeah.
Which in turn is really questioning what? Yeah, God, but what? John's message.
Oh, yeah.
You see? John's message. Well, why do you baptize then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? Why? Because God sent me to.
Exactly.
Get your eyes off of men and look to Christ.
Sir.
You see? But the preacher's got so many mistakes. Don't be an idiot. So do you.
Yeah.
You know? As I've said before, and God help me to keep saying it, there's one thing that a sinner hates. It is the top of the list. A sinner hates God sending another sinner to tell a second sinner to tell the first sinner that the first sinner is a sinner just like a second sinner is.
You're right.
They hate that.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. If God Almighty breathes life on you, you'll begin to enjoy it and be glad for it.
Yeah.
You'll be glad God Almighty sends you somebody with a message, with His message. Because it'll change everything about you. It'll even allow you to see the things you can't change about yourself. At least start to.
Yeah.
At least start to. Eventually, they will attack the messenger himself. At first, it was like really respectful. Who are you?
Yeah.
He told them who he was. It wasn't good enough, was it?
Exactly.
But the whole problem started when John just kind of first started off, I'm not the Christ. By implication, Mason, what's he saying? That's who you ought to be concerned about. Does he not? So what is that message? According to John, it's all about one. Isn't it? It's all about one. Look at verse 26. John answered them saying, I baptize you with water. He's not going to sit and argue his authority. Yeah, I do. That's what I do. It's ain't about arguing. He didn't go on to, well, let me tell you how. Well, listen, I've never let scissors come on my hair. All right? You see, you know, I took a Nazarite vow and I'm a holy man and you listen to me. Is that what he said? No, he said, here, I've been given authority to baptize. But look, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. And there it is again. Another big but. But there standeth one among you. Do you see that? John already knew he was there. See, there standeth one among you. It's all about what? One. I got two of them. One. His message, who? What was John's message? Repentance? No, that's just the overlying, that's the next page, so to speak. His message was one. One. There is one among you. But I'll tell you, there's another part to his message. It's all against human ability.
Yeah.
That's right. My message has two facets. There is one.
Yeah.
And you don't know him. You see
that?
There's one. And here's the thing. There's not one out there. You need to go find out who he is and where he's at. What did he say? There is one, and where is he? Right in your midst. And you don't know him. Right? Simeon knew him. And he was that long. Or so long. Right? Right? You talk about depravity. Here a man can see the Christ in a babe. Or rather, the Christ who was a babe. And yet these grown up men could not recognize the Christ of God who was right in their midst. Why? Why? Let me find it. Whom ye know not. That's your problem. You see, it's not just there's one and you have total inability. You don't know him. He's right amidst you, amongst you. You know, let me give you this. We live in God's world. And whether we're saved or not, whether we're elect or reprobate, God Almighty has blessed us with blessings that are beyond the imagination. You could have been born as a snake. Think about it. You could have been anything else. God made you human. Didn't he? God made you what even some call a sentient being, you know, and you and men even recognize that there's more out there than just us. Why do you think they build those big old telescopes looking for those people out there?
Yep.
Huh?
Yeah.
Now come on. There's got to be something else out there, right?
Yeah.
Granted, is that Mason not a distorted view? Yes, it's a distorted view, but it still knows there's something above us, David. There's something greater more than us. But you know what? Not only is the message about one, it says that the one is above everyone and everything else. Even the messenger. Look at it. He, the one, right?
Yeah.
He it is who coming after me is what? Preferred before me. And if you put it in better English, is preferred and not me.
Yeah.
Or instead of me.
Yeah.
What John say? You're asking all these questions about me. You're asking questions about the wrong person.
Exactly.
That's the whole point. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me. And look, I'm not even worthy to bow down before him and untie his shoe. Such a simple thing, David. And you know what? Such a serving thing.
Yeah.
It's a serving thing. You know, to bow down at his feet and untie his shoes for him. And John says, I'm not even worthy to do that. How much did John think of himself? As nothing. Even though a messenger he was and authority he had, he still what? Nothing. Right? Why? The message is far more important than even John. And even more than that, the one whom the message declares is all important. Now here's the thing. And folks, I am going to go over a little and you just bear with me. Think about this. What I've just said. How should we describe such a one as that?
Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
Since man is the same, God's message is the same, and it's about one, and one that's above everything and everybody else. How should we describe him? Well, get you a dictionary. That may help a little. find all those great, marvelous words, right, to describe him, right? Get you a dictionary. Look them up. What about systematic theology? You got Hodge. Well, almost said Schaefer, but that's kind of like a bowl somewhere sometimes. Be that as it may, I don't mean to down him, but yeah, I do. Well, get you a systematic theology. That'll give you some great words to describe this one, right? What about a great poem? Yeah, I mean, a great poem. This Bible has poems. What is it, 100 and how many of them?
Yeah.
The Psalms? And many of them describe him. Yeah. Do they not?
Yes, sir.
I'm not saying the dictionary is bad. I'm not saying systematic theology is bad. I'm not saying great poems are bad. That's not what I mean. But how did John then describe him?
Yeah.
Huh? The next day. You see it?
That's it.
David didn't even have a long time to even think about it. Why? Because there's no need to think about it. God's already described him. And how did John describe him when he actually showed up on the scene?
Yeah.
Behold what? Look at the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Is that what he said? Now, was he the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Oh, you bet your bottom dollar he is. But how did John describe him? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Let me say something to you. You may see all about his lordship, and that is vital and necessary. Yep. You may see his absolute sovereignty, but if you miss him as the Lamb, you've missed him.
Exactly.
You've missed him.
Amen.
Why? Because you're still the same as these folks was. Yep. You're just like me, and I'm just like you. We need a Lamb.
Amen.
And until you got a Lamb, you really don't know nothing about a Lord. Until you realize your absolute necessity of a Lamb. And you know what? It keeps on going. Because now we'll sum this up. Go to Revelation. I don't have time. I don't have time to read it. I went too far over. Go to the book of the Revelation, chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. And you will see that when they say, here's a book, and it's rolled up, and it's written on the inside and outside, John could tell this. And where is John? Up in glory.
Yes, sir.
He was called up, right?
Yes, sir.
He was up in glory. And all of these creatures and saints of old are there. And there's this scroll with seven seals. And people were, John was told, don't cry. Don't weep. Because there is someone, what? Worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof. Who is it? It's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But then when John seen him,
yes, sir.
What did John see? When he seen the Lion of the tribe of Judah, what did he look like?
Yeah.
A lamb. You see it? If all you see is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, you ain't seen him yet in who he really is. But if you've seen him as the lamb, you know the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
You see that?
Yeah.
And look at it. And let me tell you something. From that time forth, you know what John began to do? Fellas, don't follow me no more. Yeah, those who were following him, what did he say? Don't follow me no more. Didn't he? Look at it. Verse 35, I didn't read this part. Again the next day. This was quick.
Yeah.
David, within 2 days, his ministry was going this way. Because look, again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. Same message.
Yes, sir.
Right? Same message. And the two disciples heard him speak, and what did they do? Mm-hmm. They followed Jesus.
Yeah.
They didn't follow John.
Yeah.
Even anymore.
Huh? Yeah.
Now listen, I understand the intrigue with a man preaching the message. I understand that. I understand it. But listen, it's the message that matters, because the message is about the Lamb.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about. The title of this message, and the ones to come, Lord willing, is The Perpetuity of the Lamb.
Yes, sir.
Because this ain't the first time the Lamb came along.
No. That's right.
It's just the first time he was made visibly apparent.
Yes.
It's when he came in human flesh to stay in human flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Was it not? Yeah. Yeah. The Lamb's been around a long, long time. Long time.
Amen.
Yes, Father, as we partake of this table, may it be that we do this in remembrance of thee. All right, y'all, go ahead and cut the machines off, please.